Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
So a man was getting ready to go on a business trip. He's packing his bag, had his suitcase out on the bed. His little three-year-old daughter was jumping up and down on the bed, just having a good time, and they're just playing around. And he reached over and he grabbed her hand. He said, "I'm going to eat your hand up." And he took her fingers and went, and then he just kind of went back. He was packing, and he looked up and she was staring at her fingers. And he said, "Oh, no, no, honey, Daddy didn't eat your fingers. You're okay. Your fingers are fine." She said, "I know, but where's my booger?" That'll ruin lunch. Man, you got to be a parent or grandparent to appreciate that. Huh? This morning, I'm going to talk about something that I think all of us deal with, and all of us, you know, how we may have named it differently, but I want to talk about gaining a sense of security. We live in a world that's changing all the time. Things are changing. Things are coming at us fast pace. We have situations in our family, situations on our jobs. I prayed with a guy just today, and I said, "How you doing?" He's like, "Oh, I could be doing better." He said, "My wife lost a job. My job is threatened." And so that's not uncommon. We live in that world. But how can you develop a sense of security just knowing all those things are going on? And so what happens is oftentimes in life, and maybe because of your background or what you've grown up with, we can feel threatened. And when people feel threatened and when they feel insecure, there are different responses to how people handle that. When they feel threatened, the psychologists will tell us that it's typically four different responses. It's fight, it's flight, it's freeze, and it's fawn. Fight, flight, freeze, and fawn is how we respond to moments of insecurity. And so as we're thinking, this is what's happened, how do you respond to that? Now, to fight means that you're going to be aggressive. You're going to do something about it. You feel threatened, and you're going to respond that way. My father grew up in rural Georgia, and when he was born in the 30s, he's in heaven now, he was then born into a family where his dad abandoned them when he was 6 years old. And his mom was a waitress just trying to make ends meet. Couldn't do it. This is during the Depression. And there was a season where she put my dad and his two siblings into an orphanage just so they could eat. And so this impacted him. He went to work when he was 9, 10 years old, pushing an ice cream cart through the hills of his rural town to help make money for the family. Money was always a threat to him, the lack of it. But his response, he was more aggressive, his response was to fight back. And through all my whole life, my dad's response to money was to fight back, to the point where even when I was just a little guy, 6, 7 years old, if I left the light on in my bedroom and didn't cut it off before I came upstairs, he would say, "Okay, give me a dime." He would charge me. "You're 6. I get charged money. I don't think it dented the electric bill, but if that's your mentality and it's fight, then everything's all about money. They actually came up with a box. I still remember it. We did not do it for our children. They called it the grumble box. And took a Quaker Oats box, put some paper around it, wrote grumble box on it. And if my mom would call me and was like, "Alan, come in from playing, and it's time to get dressed, to go to church or something," I'd be like, "Oh," you know how kids are, "Oh." And they say, "That's a quarter." And I would actually have to put a quarter in the grumble box. And then they took all the money from the grumble box and gave it to foreign missions. So you say, "Well, what did you learn from that, Alan?" I learned that my words can cost me, And I still have a heart for foreign missions. But I know I'm going to meet a missionary one day. It's like, Alan, thank you, man. You bought me a car with the grumbling that you did. But if that's your mentality, then everything's a response about that. Flight is in someone who will just simply check out. They're going to check out emotionally. They're going to check out physically. Some people leave. They can't handle it. And so their response to when they feel insecure is to check out. Maybe they're just not there. Or there's freeze. Freeze is when you just shut down on the inside. You're not there. You're shut down. You're going through the motions, but there's not much happening. You're paralyzed. You're not taking risks. You're not doing anything. Fawn is where you are trying to make everybody around you happy. If I can just make everybody happy, everything's going to be okay. I feel threatened. I'm going to make everyone happy. And that's difficult. And so Joy and I were married. My response was fight. Hers was fawn. Not a good mix. And it creates this sense of insecurity. Well, I got good news. God did not leave us down here to live in this world and feel threatened and feel a sense of insecurity. He's got a counter for that. And his counter for that is a belief that you are safe and that you're loved. When they work with trauma patients, two of the things they try to establish with people who experience trauma is that you're safe and you're loved. And if you know you're safe and loved, if you believe you're safe and loved, that creates a whole different response to feeling threatened. That's a sense of security. Now, that's a belief. The belief of feeling safe and loved is not based on everything around you. You don't have to ever have everything perfect to feel safe. In fact, you know, Jesus said, before he left, he said, peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. You see, he was talking about a peace that was not everything out here being peaceful. He's talking about a peace on the inside that can override what's going on out here. It's a belief. It's a belief that I'm safe in love, and it can have nothing to do with feelings. You can believe you're safe in love and your feelings can be going all over the place, but you're like, no, I'm safe, I'm loved. That's a belief. And it's directly connected to your view of God, what you believe about God, your response to God, how you take that responsibility, how you take that relationship. Who is God to you? See, a lot of times people can say, well, God, I believe God's big, God's sovereign, God's omnipotent. Yeah, great. But who is he to you? That's when it matters the most. And so you say, well, where do I start? I don't even know how to do that. Hey, aren't you glad that God gave us his words and people who had divine insight into who he is? And one of them is David. David, King David, had an insight to God that was light years ahead of all of his people around him. Look what he says about God. He said, oh, you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Look down and have mercy on me. Give your strength to your servant. Save me, the son of your servant. Send me a sign of your favor. Then those who hate me will be put to shame. For you, O Lord, help and comfort me. If you're helping me, I'm safe. If you're comforting me, I know I'm loved. And David had that belief, and that made all the difference. David fought giants, he fought bears, he fought armies, he dealt with problems in his family, but David believed that God would help him and that God loved him, and so David was able to handle a lot of life and handle it in such a good perspective. Joy grew up in a home where her dad left when she was 6 weeks, and her mom was doing her best to make things happen. And there was a lot of fear with Joy, and she was put in a daycare. She said, I remember standing at the fence in daycare and early on, 2 years old, fell off a bus, heard this, just almost alone, had a sense of abandonment. And she lived on a block where to walk to the school or walk around the block, she had to pass a man's house. Well, actually, a young man's house. His name was Kenny Samuels. She's never forgotten his name. Kenny Samuels. She said, Kenny Samuels, I used to walk on the sidewalk, and he would open his window, and he would scream. He was 17 years old. He would scream at a six-year-old girl. He would scream, don't you step on my grass. You better get off my grass. And Joy said, I'm on the sidewalk. I'm not even touching this grass. She said that every time I would come up to Kenny Samuels' house, She said, I would feel my heart start to beat. It scared her, intimidated her. She didn't feel safe. She didn't feel love. Until Del Todd entered her life. Del Todd, her mom remarried when Joy was 7. Married a 6'4" Irish cop named Del Todd. He looked like John Wayne. He used to get asked for autographs at airports. He was a dead, trust me, I met him. He was a dead ringer for John Wayne. And he had that look, and man, it made all the difference in Joy. He loved Joy. He thought Joy was the greatest thing in the world. And Joy said one day, after Dale had come into their life and began to fix things up around the house and begin to create an atmosphere that he was there and he was going to protect them and he loved her, she said she was walking to Kenny Samuel's house and she began to get that feeling again, but then the thought interrupted her and she said, wait a minute. She said, I have a dad now. I have a dad and he's big and he's a policeman and he'll protect me. And so she said, she walked on Kenny Samuel's grass, took her rebellious little self and just walked on his grass. She said he wasn't even home. He didn't. But the difference in a little 7-year-old girl was she felt safe and believed she was loved. Even though Dale wasn't there, she knew he would protect her. She knew he would help her. She knew he loved her. Guys, let me tell you something. How do we handle life when life is screaming, get off my grass, you can't do this, you can't touch this? It's another thing to know I've got a heavenly Father. He is big. He will help me. He will protect me. I am safe with him. I've got a God. And that gives me, and it gives you, a sense of security. Now, there was a time when the disciples who were with Jesus lost all sense of security. Let's see their story here. It's a familiar one. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in a boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But as soon a fierce storm came up, high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up, shouting, Teacher! Don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. The disciples did not understand the power in Jesus' words. They didn't realize that everything Jesus said came to pass. Jesus didn't go, oh, I'm just saying. Whatever he said, in fact, he would once say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. He was that confident in his words, and everything he said came to pass. He cursed a fig tree, it died. He spoke to a dead man, he was raised to life. Everything he said was solid. And when he said, let's cross over to the other side, he did not mean let's go to the middle of the lake and drown. He said, let's cross over. It was his idea. It was his word. That's a solid truth they could work with. And so as they're doing that, they're listening to his words, but the truth of his words just never landed. They did not realize the power in his words. I think they saw it later when he stood up and said to the wind, hey, be still, and everything got calm. But even then, that scared them. And they didn't feel safe or loved because there was a storm that came up. Now, I've never been on a body of water in a boat with a big storm. And I'm not really signing up for that either. I don't want that. But even on Lake Conroe, you can have waves pop up. I know just a few years ago, some of you remember up in Missouri, there's a Table Rock Lake. A massive storm hit that lake. This is in Missouri. And swamped a tourist boat. It took it down. People drowned. So it can happen. They're on a boat and there are waves coming in and the boat's filling up with water and they do not feel safe. But they didn't feel love either. They didn't believe Jesus loved them. Because when they woke him up, they could have said, Jesus, I know you said cross over, but we got a situation here. What do you want us to do? That's not what they said. They woke him up and went, "Don't you care? Don't you care? We're going to drown." And Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. But the "don't you care" is associated with, "You don't love me?" You see, if you love me, you care. They didn't believe he loved them enough, that he would do something. And when Jesus calmed the wind and the waves, I think it's very interesting, he did not talk about their character, he talked about their lack of faith. He didn't look at them and go, "Come on, guys, y'all the wimpiest bunch of folks I have ever met." He didn't say, "You're cowardly," he didn't say, "You're weak." He said, "Where is your faith? Are you still afraid?" He said, "Do you still have no faith?" He addressed their faith. And they got there. I mean, it took them a while, but we're reading the book of Acts. You know, if you're here at the Ark, everybody reads Bible 365. And so we read that. We're reading the book of Acts. I mean, these apostles went from being a kind of a scared group to a powerful group, doing some great things. But they weren't there then. And so, you know what I take courage in? Hey, listen, if the disciples can improve in that area, we can improve in that area. We can gain a sense of security. So let's talk about how do we do that. Here's the first thing here. This is an area that you can grow in. You can grow. Listen, I'm going to say this, and I mean this very definitively. Your spiritual life is the only area of your life that's completely unlimited. You can grow spiritually in an unlimited sense. We have limitations. We have physical limitations, mental limitations. We have talent limitations. Spiritually, you can keep growing. Even the Apostle Paul said, "I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm pressing forward." Listen, if Paul was still growing, we could still grow. And you have to understand, now I get so frustrated when I hear, I watched some YouTube clip the other day. Joy and I have a secret love. We love American Idol. We watch it, and we choose who should be on there and who shouldn't. I mean, we pick them. But this guy was on there, had a beautiful voice. And after he sang, he looked at his brother, and they gave him the golden ticket. He looked at his brother, and he said, "You can do anything you want if you just set your mind to it." And that's a popular thought. And it's also wrong. Because if you don't have the voice, if you don't have the instrument, you don't have the talent, you're not going to be a world-class singer. Even though you set your mind to it, if you don't have the voice, it isn't going to happen. I was 5'10 and a half. I couldn't dunk a basketball. I was not going to be an NBA player. And I am so glad my parents looked at me and go, "You can be anything you want to be, including an NBA player." That is so wrong. I didn't have the physical, don't look at me that weird. I did not have the physical skills. Listen, parents, telling our kids you can be anything you want. How about this? You can be everything God's called you to be. You can be all of what God's called you to be. And so it's our job as parents to find out where their talents are, where their gifts are, and help them get in that direction. Man, Matt, I watched my kids. Man, from the early age, I knew nobody was going to get a scholarship through college athletically. I was like, I was a realist, and we're just like, and my daughter, oh, bless her heart, we spent so much money on her on voice lessons. And I finally looked at Joy, I said, "We are wasting money. She cannot sing." And you say, "Well, that's cruel as a parent." No, what's cruel is letting your kid go to American Idol and howl like a dog and just say, that's what's cruel. I taught her how to dance bad on purpose. My daughter cannot dance. That's my fault. I taught her how to dance bad. I didn't want her going to clubs, so I taught her to dance so bad. She'd never get in a club, man. She's horrible. She's going to kill me when she hears this. But the idea is we're limited in areas, but spiritually we can grow. Spiritually, we can get stronger. Spiritually, our faith can grow. Now, I want you to look at what Paul told. He wrote the Thessalonians. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters, We can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. They didn't have a Bible they could turn to. They didn't have a phone that they could read. They didn't have YouTube that they could watch sermons. And he said, your faith is flourishing and your love is growing. If the Thessalonians could grow, then the Conronians can grow. We can do this. We can grow in this area. And so, but here's the idea. We need a growth mindset, not a fixed asset mindset. See, that fixed asset says, there's just so much, I have just so much, it's a win-lose. It's win-lose. And it's no, it's I'm learning. I'm learning. I'm growing. I prayed, it didn't happen. I'm learning to pray. I read my Bible for 3 weeks, my life didn't change. I'm learning and growing. It's a growth mindset. You can grow in this. Here's the second thing. There's two areas we have to become intentional about. Intentional believing two things. Believe that you're safe. With God's help, you're safe, and believe that you're loved by God. That with God's help, you are safe. You're going to be safe. Believe you're going to make it. In other words, I'm going to make it in life. I know what happens in life, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to make it. When the dust settles, I'm going to make it. You say, Alan, what is my basis for believing that? You don't know me. You don't know my background. You don't know what I've come up through. You don't know what I'm dealing with now. Listen, I'm not basing this on your background. I'm basing this on the same powerful words that told the wind and the waves to be still, and God's word is still powerful now. And this is what he says about you. Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. Leave that up there just for a second. You can say that. You say, well, that's David. Listen, David was a servant of God. If you've made Jesus your Lord, you are a child of God. You are a son. You are a daughter of God. And so we can say, yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. That is spiritual trash talk right there. That's biblical trash talk. Because the enemy and people and other people will say, you're not going to make it. You go, oh, no, oh, no, the Lord is for me. The Lord will help me. And when the dust settles, I'm going to still be standing. He is on my side. We're going to triumph here. You got to believe that you're safe with him. And with the Lord, with his help, you're going to make it. You're going to come through. You're safe. Second thing you have to believe is believe that you're loved. Believe that you're loved by God. Now, we say that, oh, God is love. I know God loves. No, you have to really make that personal, guys. See, a lot of times people believe that God loves someone else a little bit more than he loves them. And like all of you know that God loves joy. You wonder about me, but you know that he loves joy. But look what John said. This is the Apostle John. He wrote this later on. We know how much God loves us. And we put our trust in his love. I just wanted you to see that part. We know how much God loves us. We believe how much God loves us. We've got to be able to say, I believe God's love for me. You know, it would just help you to say that. Lord, thank you that you love me. I love you. We tell the Lord, I love you all the time. It's good to hear you say, Lord, thank you that you love me. Elisa Britt Sholee is an author Joy and I read after. She's a doctor. She writes some really good stuff. She said when she was a young girl, her mother was terrified of storms. Her mother would hear thunder and it just set her off. And her father, Alicia's father, did not want her to have the same problem. And so every time there was a storm at night, he would scoop her up in his arms and they would go sit out on the porch and watch the storm. They'd listen to the thunder, they'd watch the lightning, they'd feel the wind as it began to kick the spray into their face. And she would snuggle up in her father's arms. And Alicia said, I'm not afraid of storms. I knew I was safe because I was with my father. And she said, I actually look forward to storms because it was a special time with my daddy. Now, other people have told her, I didn't have a dad like that. She said, well, why don't you borrow my heavenly father? Why don't you borrow him? Because he's that same kind of daddy. And so as we talk about that, it's a reality. It's a strength. It's something when we feel safe. Alicia feels safe in a storm because she knows her God is with you. You can feel safe in the storm the same way. Here's the third one. Two key areas that produce change. Two key areas are found in this psalm right here. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Words, thoughts. I'm doing a series on Wednesday night on thoughts. If you've never heard teaching on changing the thoughts in your mind, when you change your thoughts, you change your life. And so the meditations, the things we're constantly thinking of, is something we'll change. But let me just talk just a moment about words. Words are like footsteps. The words that you speak, you think people speaking words to you impacts you. The words you speak will impact you even more. And so if you could imagine, let's say you're going through a field. You have to get to the other side of a field. It's got tall grass. If you begin to walk on that grass, it's a little hard to get through at first, but then you begin to walk on it, walk on it, walk on it, and the grass dies and the dirt gets packed down, and soon that becomes the easiest path through the field. What we haven't realized is when we speak negative words of anxiety, of fear, of I'm not going to make it, of it's not going to work for me, you know, if things never work out, I don't know what's going on, I feel so lost. Those words are like footsteps through your mind, through your brain. And they create what science calls a neural pathway. And what's happened is we've created neural pathways of anxiety and failure and not being enough. But thank God for the good news of God's Word. Science has proven that if you would change your words to words of gratitude and truth, that you can actually begin to form and carve a new pathway. You see, what happens is when you got a pathway that's negative, then when something happens, that's the easiest path your brain will take. Your thoughts will go right that way. But when you begin to carve a new one, and this is secular science saying you can use words of gratitude and truth and begin to actually reroute your mind and carve a new neural pathway in your brain. Well, if it'll work with words of gratitude and truth, how much more will it work with God's word in your mouth saying what He said about you? That's highest level of truth. So would you begin to say, instead of I'm so afraid, you begin to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. I am blessed and I'm not cursed. You're carving a brand new path in your mind. You're carving a new way to go. This is why I think when you first begin to say what God's Word says about you, it sounds funny because you've already carved a path. But thank God you can carve a new one. And if you'll keep up with it, that's why you have God's Word here. And David said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart line up with you, God. May they be pleasing in your sight. Before I knew the Lord, and when I had gotten away from Him, I was not a good sleeper. I would lie down at night, and it would take me hours sometimes to fall asleep. I'd worry, I'd think, I'd go over the day, things I should have said, things I wish I'd said, what I would do. And oftentimes, I'm up for hours. When I gave my life back to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'm yours. I remember one of the first dramatic things I saw in my life was I would lay down at night and go immediately to sleep. And what I think it was really was a sense of security that I had, that God loved me, that I knew that if I die before I wake, I didn't have to pray the Lord my soul today. I knew where I was going. I knew what was going on. I would lie down without fear. I'd have that sense of security. If you're thinking, man, I wish I had that, it's available to you. This is not just for a preacher. In fact, I was a sales rep when this happened. It's available to anyone who will say, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I yield my life to you. And that's where security begins. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? If that's you that I'm talking to this morning, and you say, you know what, Alan, I don't know where I stand with the Lord, but I want to know. I want to be sure. Or maybe you're thinking, I did that one time. Man, I've just gotten so far away from God and I want to come back. Well, He wants you back. So we're going to say a prayer. We're not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front. Right where your chair, right where you're sitting, this prayer is for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Those of you who are online, this prayer is for you as well. But I'm asking you here, those of you who are here, if you say, Alan, that's me that you're talking to, I want to be sure where I stand with the Lord, or I want to come back to Him. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Wonderful. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you're thinking, I didn't lift my hand. I wanted to. You can still pray this prayer. This is a heart prayer. If you're online, I can't even see your hand, but this prayer is for you. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. Words matter. If you're with others, pray it quietly. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Head still bowed just for a moment. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who acknowledge you, those who made a heart decision, those who have come out of spiritual darkness into the light, and those who have come back home. We rejoice with them. We thank you for them. Father, for the rest of us, thank you that we can have a growing faith, a growing sense of security in you. It's possible. You made it available. You've given us all the tools we need. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that we're safe and loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.